KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies. Temperature holding steady at 35 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with a high around 41. Good morning and again, Merry Christmas. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. In the news, a new climate assessment for Iowa and the rest of the Northern Plains predicts the region will see overall warmer temperatures and more rain extremes in the months and years ahead. Meteorologist Dennis Toddy, director of the USDA's Midwest Climate Hub based in Ames, says ag producers will need to make more and more adjustments, starting with soil health.
At worst, maintain. Don't lose any more of your soil, but do things that help regenerate that soil. With reducing tillage, when you're harvesting your crop, don't remove some of that stover as much as possible to help renew the soil and help keep regenerating the soil.
While concerns have been raised for years over nutrient applications on fields and subsequent runoff, Toddy says fertilizer use will have to be even more carefully monitored.
Being more judicious with our nutrient application so we don't get any kind of water quality issues.
In some areas of the region, he says agricultural producers may have to consider changing the crops they plant to better align with a changing climate.
Corn and soybeans are things that people know how to grow. They're insured. There's a number of issues supporting that. But especially when we have the pricing issues right now, are there other things that you can grow, that you know how to grow, that are more able to be managed under the conditions that we're dealing with?
The National Climate Assessment Report endeavors to forecast approaching changes over the next 10 to 30 years. Iowa farmland values have dropped 4 of the last 5 years in the Iowa State University survey, but some farmland owners are still optimistic that will change in the new year. Iowa State University economist Lindong Zhang conducts the annual survey.
A third of the respondents roughly think that we are still seeing, will see modest decrease in the land market. Another 15% see probably no change. So roughly half is in a camp of modest decline or no change. Half is increase.
The optimism about land values extends beyond this year, he says.
5 years from now, a vast majority of people are thinking the land market will be higher than the current level.
Zhang takes a more guarded approach in predicting what might happen.
So I think I'm probably a little more pessimistic than the average respondents. In general, I think I see a stabilizing land market. I probably wouldn't expect a significant increase in land market, at least in the immediate future.
The limited amount of land available was a top factor cited in the price of land by those in the survey. Zhang doesn't expect the number of sales to increase.
In general, yes, we will see more transition, but I don't think that you will see a large influx at the same time. So what you see is this year, I think there is a 22% increase in the number of auctions in certain areas across the state. Remember that 2017 is really, really low in terms of the sales.
Majority of farmland sales, some 72%, were to existing farmers, and that included 69% of the sales to local farmers, and only 3% were to existing relocating farmers. Zhang doesn't expect things to change much in 2019.
Farmland market will continue to be a tight market.
And he says much of the land is passed through families, and about the only thing that would change that process is a change in the tax law.
If you delay your sales till death, then you avoid paying capital gains taxes. And that is maintained in the tax reform, and that is one of the major things. If that changes, then I think that will cause a lot of rethinking in terms of when and how you sell land.
The majority of farmland sales, 52%, were from estate sales, followed by retired farmers at 23%. Active farmers account for 15% of sales, while investors accounted for 8%. You may be offered an Iowa-brewed beer or a glass of wine at your Christmas gathering or party this year. Iowa Alcoholic Beverages Division spokesperson Tyler Ackerson says those two adult beverages saw gains in sales in the last fiscal year.
Wine sales increased 1.1%. And Iowa-made beer sales actually increased a staggering 11.1%. That was the highest increase in types of alcoholic beverages that were sold in the state.
The increase in Iowa brewed beers comes as the overall beer gallons sold in Iowa in the last fiscal year dropped by a little more than 2%.
A contributing factor to that is the craft movement, both here in Iowa and nationally.
The amount of Iowa-made wine sold dropped 6.5%, and Ackerson says that's probably because of the competition from other beverages.
Iowans have more choice than ever before in the products, spirits products, and also beer products that are available, and we see that they're choosing different products than they might have chosen before.
The Iowa Alcoholic Beverages Division does not distribute wine or beer in the state, but tracks the amount of gallons sold based on the amount of taxes paid. Food pantries in eastern Iowa and western Illinois are being flooded with milk donations under a federal program to buy and distribute nearly $50 million in dairy products to compensate farmers hurt by trade tariffs. The River Bend Food Bank CEO Mike Miller says that about 80,000 half gallons of milk will be distributed to food pantries across the Quad Cities region through March. The spike in donations comes from a U.S. Department of Agriculture program to help dairy farmers caught in the middle of President Trump's trade disputes with Mexico, China, and Canada. Tariffs have cost American dairy farmers more than $1 billion since May. Miller says the USDA program is helpful but challenging because milk has a limited shelf life and the program lacks distribution volunteers. And state transportation officials are asking lawmakers to give the green light to another state-run driver's license station in central Iowa. Driver's licenses and ID cards are issued at 83 county treasurer's offices, and the Iowa DOT operates facilities in the most heavily populated areas of the state.
We have 17 service centers in 16 counties right now.
That's Iowa DOT Director Mark Lowe. There are already two DOT licensed stations in Polk County, one in Ankeny and the other on the north side of Des Moines. Lowe has presented the governor with a plan to open a new DOT service center on the west side of the Des Moines Metro in Dallas County. He says Dallas County officials are overwhelmed.
They're doing about 26,000 licenses and IDs a year, which is over seven times more than the average county treasurer's office, and it's very comparable to what we do in our Ames, Council Bluffs, and Dubuque service centers. So Dallas County officials have come to us and asked us if we would take over the services in Dallas County, and we've agreed to do that.
Lowe says Dallas County's population is 2.5 times larger than it was when the Dallas County treasurer began issuing licenses out of the courthouse in Adel. The DOT director told the governor staffing costs for the new DOT facility in Dallas County would be $500,000.
And then you'll also see in our capital budget $350,000, which would be for the build-out of a leased facility to house the new service center. And we're targeting start of January 2020 to have that up and running in place. And Dallas County's been working closely with us and will be a great partner in that transition.
This is the DOT's second try at getting a new service center in Dallas County. In 2016, Senate Democrats voted to specifically prohibit the DOT from buying, building, renting, or leasing any kind of license station in Dallas County. Republicans are now in charge of the state Senate, though, and the Senate president is from Dallas County, but he's not commented publicly on the DOT's proposal. The news was brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Be sure and give them a call at 641-745-5253. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.